nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Good morning. As Dr. Fiore mentioned, I'm from U.S. Army Research Lab, and my name is Mahesh Raj Nupan, and I'm working there as a postdoctoral research fellow since January of 2015. So today, I'll be talking mainly about 2D materials and their electronic and vibrational properties, and it's a part of the work that I did during my PhD and some of the results from my postdoctoral work. So let's get started. So as we all know, graphene has been it's been a decade since we first heard about graphene in a true sense, and it has so many fantastic properties, you know, such as, you know, it has, you know, linear EK. We could use it for some new device application, and highest reported mobilities for that matter. And also, there are some other drawbacks to it. So it's chemically inert. And also, it doesn't have any intrinsic band gap. That is actually a key component for any device application. However, based on its advantage over other materials, there have been few, you could hardly see, there are a few other application domain where we have successfully implemented graphene. And actually, graphene has become commercial 2D materials for other application, not for the, you know, transistor application, but for other complementary application. And because of this graphene's unique properties, they have been acting as a complementary material for other existing 2D system. Let's talk about other. So TMDC is another 2D materials, that is transition metal dichalcozenide and tetralayer 2D material. Graphene is a monolayer, in a true sense, it's atomic thick monolayer 2D, and these TMDCs are tetralayer 2D materials. And they consist of transition metal and chalcozenides. And transition metal is sandwiched, you can see here, between chalcozenides. So there are, and above all, compared to graphene, it has some finite gap, and which makes it very intriguing and very important for any device application. And also, unlike graphene, TMDCs, so they are chemically active. It means you can actually functionalize them pretty well. And as of, you know, this year, there has been 88 compositions discovered in terms of 2D materials, but theory predicts only 44 stable choices. You can see based on their metal types that you use and chalcogenide you use, it can go from being semiconductor to semi-metallic to superconductor. So, and because of the transition metals d orbital, it makes this TMDCs intriguing for any optical application, as well as it, because of this chalcogen's pg orbital that's pointed upward in valence band, so it is susceptible to confinement. So that means when you go from bulk to monolayer, it goes from being indirect to direct. So that there is some room for, you know, band engineering based on the confinement. So let's look at some of the application domains we have seen so far. And there's huge, this is some of the application I found and I've investigated for many years. And so you can see it has electronic optical application, and also it has spintronic and valleytronic application. This is new application domain that is coming up, actually. You see lots of paper based on that, the degenerate valleys at K and K prime point. And as we all know, it also has a market, in a sense, topological insulator, and sensing application, because they are chemically active, so you can actually functionalize them for sensing application. And similarly, you can make you can have a heterojunction or heterostructure made out of it. So there's it's a physics and chemistry based application domains. Now let's look at the energy generation and harvesting application domains. So you can one application in this area is mechatronics, that is like strain-tronics. Some people call it strain-tronics. And you can apply strain and you can actually generate some energy out of it. And another is catalysis. Actually, MOS2 has been widely used as a catalysis, and you can see you can actually improve electron hole lifetime by a few factors by combining MOS2 with other conventional catalysis. So, and also supercapacitor, actually, when MOS2 in particular combined with reduced graphene oxide, and it shows fourfold increment in the actually capacitance. And this is new, actually pretty new area in this domain, where we are looking at piezoelectric applications. So you apply mechanical force at particular site, in atomic site, and you look at their mechanical response for any novel device application. So you could see, if you are a researcher in this area, you could find out about one application every week. That's a kind of in general sense. It means that makes us happy. That means that the field is evolving and we are moving in the right direction. So let's look at the design space. So now, what can we do with this TMDC, the tetralayer 2D materials? And you can stack them, and they can actually have a different functionality out of it. And you can slide them. Actually, they are separated by interlayer van der Waal gap. So what you could do is you can actually slide them and actually you can band engineer their property by sliding. And also you can apply strain because they have this covalent band. Actually, you can apply some strain on it and you can modulate the van der Waal gap between them. And you can chemically functionalize in the surface and also rotate them. So that since they are separated by van der Waal spacing, you can in practice actually you can systematically rotate them to get some novel optical properties out of it. And you can apply pressure and change the phase from 1T to 2H and 1T prime phase. And there are several phases in existing phases in these 2D materials. And also there are many other ways you can actually design this 2D material for your application, such as geometrical, like for example, creating different shapes, sizes, and also defect engineering is a huge field, and doping also, and also chemical intercalation between van der Waal layers, and more. So today, I will be mainly focusing on these three design space where I'll be giving a case study on stacking, rotating, and phase modulation. And if you look at it, right, it involves this design space involves into these 2D materials. Actually, they require true interdisciplinary approach. It's not only physics problem anymore. It's not a chemistry problem anymore. It's not engineering problem anymore. You have to work together so that you can reach the collective goal of a new device for future application. So we could see this as a limitless opportunity. Let's look at the numbers, because that's what ultimately counts. So where we stand right now. So you can see, in terms of, there are a few parameters you have to look at it in terms of device application. And those are on and off ratio, mobility, and energy gap. And so you can see, so far, we have seen like wide range of mobilities in these materials. I'm not talking about particular one material, but in an entire range. You can see from 10 to 200 per centimeter square. So an on-off ratio between 10 to the power 4 to 10 to the power 8, a 6. And soft threshold swing, which is also important. So 75 to 100, you can take it. And then there's another, you have to look at gap. That's another parameter that we are all interested in, energy gap. And you can, based on the type of 2D material you use, it could be anything between 0.6 EV to 2 EV. Okay, and one more important characteristics of these 2D material is it can go from being direct to indirect from when it goes from one layer to few layers, even two layers, it goes back to being indirect. So now, if we look at this number, right, all the mobility is a gap, and it's on par with silicon-based technology. So that means we are there, like we are heading in the right direction. So now, so let's look at some of the limitations associated with these materials. So the first limitation of, or the factor that impacts overall 2D performance, 2D materials device performance is interface problem. So you cannot, it's very hard to form any proper contact between them. And also, growth of large sample is huge challenge. And in order to meet this industry standard, we have to, you know, we are a long way from the industry standard right now. So low mobility and higher contact resistivity, far from bulk silicon, actually. And it also has low optical quantum yield because, you know, for any real device, you need at least few layers. And once it becomes few layer sample, so it goes from being direct to indirect. So then you lose this quantum efficiency there. And stacking this 2D multi-layer system is a big challenge because they are separated by van der Waal force, and it's very hard to control that interlayer stacking pattern. So even with these limitations, so far what we achieved is in last 10 years since the invention of graphene, so we went from being Scotch tape governed, you know, in terms of research, that where we started, looking at graphene using exfoliate the sample using graphene Scotch tape. Now we are into sandwich governed research area. That means we are trying to stack them together and to create a new functionalities out of it. So now let's look at. So we have seen the limitation. Let's look at some of the mitigation strategies here. So we need advanced synthesis technique for large area growth. That's the experiment list problem. Okay, and now we need efficient characterization technique, both experimentally and theory, and it has to be done experiment, theory, and modeling. Actually, we need that combined effort there, and also we need accurate theory and modeling that explores new physics, new properties out of this 2D material. And for this, actually, we are solely responsible for a theory and modeling team for this. So as I mentioned it, we have huge role to play. Let's look at what kind of role can we play in this direction. So it could be complementary. That means we could provide some theoretical reasoning for experimental observation. And also we can validate their experimental observation. That's one. I call it as a complementary modeling. And next one would be predictive. Means be upfront, design new model and predict new physics out of these models. So this would be very, you can actually address some unexplored chemistry and physics out of it. So in my last few slides, I will talk about those two approach. So this is first one. It is characterization of vibrational properties. As we know, this multi-layer graphene system, they are any 2D material, van der Waal material, they are, when you stack them together, they have intrinsic rotation between them. So to predict, and it has been shown through experiment and also through theory that even a small rotation actually leads to huge change in intrinsic properties. So we might lose overall advantage of this multi-layer system because of that. So motivated by this, so we went and this is our experimental work with the collaboration at UCR. And we actually grew the twisted sample systematically and try to understand what happens to those overall vibrational properties of those samples. And since we know that in order to meet this commensurate supercell periodicity, so these in twisted bilayer graphene, the sample size increases exponentially. So it cannot be done using DFT or any kind of first principle method. So for that, we need to use some highly scalable system such as MD. So this is the phonon dispersion out of this for the two-state sample, two-state graphene, using our MD method. So now let's see how it compares with the experiment. And you can see this red line here is actually Raman spectra at room temperature. And since this the experimental observation is always done in room temperature, Raman spectroscopy is done in room temperature, so we have to find suitable theory that actually handles some temperature effect. And that's the one reason, that's another reason why we chose MD, because you can actually calibrate your system in room temperature. So what we found was, because of the, since to maintain the commensurability, the supercell size increases. And during that, what happens is the billion joule starts folding back to the gamma point. And because of that folding, that you could absorb some of the extra peaks out of this bilayer sample. So next case study is identification of structured topology in this SNS2. This is a new kind of 2D materials that actually it's in collaboration with BNL, Brookhaven National Lab. And what we look, and the motivation comes from the earlier experimental study in 1980s and 70s, where they found some experimental ambiguity around the phase they observe, and also theoretical ambiguity exists in that sense. And then what we did is we looked at the we worked with experimentalists and tried to come up with a suitable phase identification with them. So what if you look at it, this is the heat map you can see here. It's out of RPS measurement. That's a high-quality RPS measurement that was done in BNL. And this is if you see the line here, it's our DFT work. So we're using hybrid functional. It's computationally expensive, but very accurate hybrid functional. Now, it's very intriguing for us to see that our theoretical model actually predicts experimental observation very nicely. You can see. So the take-home message from this research was this: in the bulk form, SNS2 exists in 4S topology. So unlike other 2D material where you have 2S topology as a stable bulk form. And unlike other TMDCs, it doesn't go from being indirect to direct when you confine them to single layer. So it stays indirect throughout the scaling. So this is another complementary modeling we worked on. So this is actually interesting, band gap engineering in multilayer MOS2, where experimentally, during the plasma treatment, they observed some thickness variation in multilayer sample. Okay, so they saw some changes AFM by looking at AFM data. They found that once you treat with oxygen, the thickness increases by 20%. And they went ahead and did some Raman characterization to see if there is any structural distortion there. And they did not find any structural distortion in the sample. And also, finally, when they worked, they looked at the PL spectra, the photoluminescence spectra, what they observed was the sample went from being indirect to direct after plasma treatment. And that was a very interesting problem to solve, because they also confirmed there was no intercalation in between the layers, and then they could not explain any intuitive explanation for this. So that's where our theory and modeling comes in play. And what we did is we looked at because any thickness variation in this sample most likely will come from the van der Waal separation distance variation. So we went ahead and did some systematic variation of this van der Waal gap between few layer sample, and looked at the indirect to direct transition in this material using our DFT method. So based on the number of layers we have, there is a transition point for different transition point for each sample. So what we found in our 20% increase in the van der Waal gap directly corresponds to the 20% increase in experimental finding. So take-home message is, this is a novel way of actually engineering band gap without distorting any sound, like without actually modifying the sample. You just do plasma treatment to the sample, and it goes from being indirect to direct. And then based on that, actually, we filed a patent on this overall, not only experimental observation, experimental technique, but also theoretical validation. So this is actually, patent was filed last year, so it should be approved by now. So this is another modeling work we did, which is belongs to predictive modeling, where we found this. We took this 2D heterostructure and came up with a new design, device design, which we call it TEXPET, means transition TMDC expert. So, and it works. You know, the key requirements out of this devices are, you have to have electron hole separation between them, and they have to maintain certain minimum distance to absorb this to form a condensation, and then also they have to have similar electron hole effective masses. So that's the key. These are the key requirements. And this is in collaboration with Professor Appenzeller here at Purdue. And this is the idea comes from his work in nanowire, when he had two nanowires, aligned to each other, and one was gated positively, another was gated negatively, and there was a spacing between that. So the idea comes from that. And the prediction is this: his prediction was it might, beat the 60 millivolt per decade threshold there. So what we observed was, based on our DFT, we extracted effective mass and dielectric properties from DFT, and we applied some DFT and variational principle, and what we found was something interesting, that in this system, the exciton can be formed at room temperature, even at certain thickness level. Actually, at 3.3 separation distance between these two layers, you can see, you can have this binding energy, that's a binding energy of 50 to 60 MeV, which is 2 times the KT. And the effective Bohr radius actually means that is the crucial parameter that actually governs the overall thickness of the device, overall vertical thickness of the device. We found that it's 1/3 of the graphene BN system, so graphene boronite system. So that means there is some interesting aspect, and then I think we need some experimental validation for this, our predictive work. And this is the last of our predictive modeling. And this is similar model, but we're looking at some interesting physics out of it. And we're trying to understand if we could observe superfluidity out of this 2D heterostructure. And so you can see it goes in the superfluidic material, so it goes from being conductor to insulator at certain temperature. And for this, what we did is we used DFT and also we applied mean field approximation after extracting parameter from DFT. And we have to solve this self-consistently to take care of this other numerical issues. So those key requirements are electron holes in valence band and conduction band has to nest it correctly. There has to have a proper nesting. And also, they have to have similar effective mass so that you can get them in a similar way. And also, they have to the overall effective dielectric constant has to be smaller so that you could observe this gap. Our first observation with static screening included on it, through that, we found that we could actually observe superconducting gap, in this superfluidic gap in this system, and that could exist in the room temperature. So that's a key finding that we can draw out of this predictive modeling. And this is another predictive modeling where we looked at the nano indentation simulation, where based on the experimental work from Ali Javi's group at UC Berkeley. And we're looking at can we enhance the mechanical properties of 2D, these TMDCs, by combining with graphene. Graphene has higher mechanical strength compared to any other TMDCs. So based on that, we went ahead and did some looked at some stacking topology, like how does the stacking order plays a role in these simulations, and can we actually engineer the mechanical properties of this 2D heterostructure by ordering them in a proper sequence. So this is our model calibration. You can see single layer, monolayer, and for monolayer graphene, and also for single layer MOS2. This is, and our actually, you can see where these are the point in the our snapshot, and where we could actually our model could successfully predict the experimental observation on these samples. So that gave us confidence that we can go ahead and do some additional work on this. And then this is our key finding here. So what we found was this, with this proper, like with this graphene encapsulated between this MOS2, so the overall mechanical properties improves by few factor. And also, this is the work that was done in that is ongoing. It's a ongoing work at ARL, and we are under experimental validation right now. So these are the limitations and opportunity we have. So these 2D materials and so are suitable for flexible electronics, and since you can separate them in layer, you can actually stack them, and you can come up with new material by design at your choice. Okay, and then now you can actually get 3D properties out of these 2D materials. So it would be very handy if we want. And also you can combine this, you can combine inorganic, organic 2D materials and come up with a new system as a whole. So future, like this is my last slide. So future outlook. So we have atomistic concept. That means we have this theoretical model that we built, we worked on. And now, where can we go from atomistic concept to the final form would be fully operational 2D circuit. That's the goal, right? Ultimate goal of this 2D research is to have fully operational 2D circuit. And this is what we envision in near future, where you have one large enough sample, and you can have multiple component, atomistic component on each of the sample. So this was the cover page that was published in the book last year, and this came out of our lab. Actually, I created the model, and that was picked up for that cover page. So now we know that computational modeling could play a significant role in any kind of 2D research in the future. So I would like to thank many people here. You know, without any order, postdoctoral mentor, my advisor, Dr. Lake, and also some collaborators from Purdue University, and especially to Dr. Klimek and also Dr. Rahman, who helped me throughout my PhD process indirectly and directly. So, and I also would like to acknowledge funding support from various sources. Thank you. Thank you very much.